another thing,
and I think that we kind of were getting a little bit to it,
but
another dimension of the Orthodox life, if the next
screen comes up, is it's a life oriented towards paradise. And this is a great mosaic from the apse at San Apollinare in Classe in Ravenna from the 6th century.
And in the Orthodox life is a life that's oriented towards paradise. Notice, we're not alone. You can't really see it, but you've got the hand of God. You've got angels. You've got the sheep. So, you know, it's one of those sorts of depictions where we see ourselves as the sheep and we are in paradise. That is Saint Apollinarius that the church was dedicated to,
who's a bishop there shepherding the people.
And when we talk about paradise, we're talking about the eschaton.
We're talking about, a lot of times people talk about the eschaton, they talk about the end of times.
But when I think Orthodox people talk about the eschaton, they speak more of the fullness of time.
We're looking at the fullness, the completion of time. It's not judgment and hellfire and damnation. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. But another way of looking at it is a positive way. And I like the way that, you know, we have some words here that are kind of negative, that have a little negative connotation. But then we've got words that have positive connotations. And when we think about the end time, we have to think about the positive connotations. Now, I'm going to read something to you. I'm warning you. You might want to go to the bathroom. You might want to get a drink. It's one of those things where I was going to just quote two lines,
and then I read the next line, and then I read the next line, and then I read the next line. It's a poem translated into English. It's a poem written by Saint Ephrem the Syrian. So he was 4th century. He was living in what's now sort of southern Turkey. And one of the greatest poets of the church. This is from his Hymns on Paradise 7. And he's talking about paradise. Weary not, my brothers and sisters, nor suppose that your struggle will last long, or that your resurrection is far off. For our death is already behind us, and our resurrection before us. Okay, I'm stopping there.
I thought that was so cool.
Weary not, nor suppose that your struggle will last long. We were talking about the struggle, things like that. Or that your resurrection is far off. The resurrection is near us. For our death is already behind us. And when I hear that, I'm hearing the resurrection. I'm hearing Romans 6. If you join Christ in death like his, then you'll join him in a resurrection like his. And so, death is already behind us, and resurrection is before us. Bear up, O life of mourning, so that you may attain to paradise. Its dew will wash off your squalor, while what it exudes will render you fragrant. Its support will afford you rest from your toil. Its crown will give you comfort. It will offer you fruits in your hunger, fruits that purify those that partake of them. In your thirst, it will provide for you a celestial elixir, one that makes wise those who drink of it. There is no blemish in those in paradise, for they are without wickedness. No anger is in them, for they have no fiery temper. No mocking scorn is in them, for they are without guile. They do not race to do harm, and so themselves be harmed. They show no hatred there, for they are without envy. They pronounce no judgment there, for there no oppression exists. People behold themselves in glory and wonder at themselves, discovering where they are. The nature of their bodies, once troubled and troublesome, is now tranquil and quiet, resplendent from without in beauty and from within with purity. The body in evident ways, the soul in hidden ways. In paradise, the cripples who have never walked leap around. The deformed, who have never even crawled, fly about through the air.
the eyes of the blind and deaf, who had yearned from the womb, hungering for the light which they had failed to see, now rejoiced to behold the beauty of paradise, and the mighty sounds of its harps gives comfort to their ears.
That's just an incredible image of paradise.
You see the humans there clothed in glory. And then I love it. It's, you know, poetry.
One of the great treasures of Orthodoxy is our poetry. And it lists all of the things that people are not doing there.
No blemish, no anger, no mocking scorn. They don't race to do harm. They don't show hatred. They don't pronounce judgment.
It's amazing because, well, this is a bad thing to say, but all the things that irritate me about other people are going to be missing in paradise.
And I don't know, but I've been told I have a couple of those characteristics myself. But it's just beautiful because humanity is going to be there without these blemishes, without these perfections. We are going to be wrapped in glory. Our squalor, that's a great word, our squalor will be washed off with dew. This is the orientation of the Orthodox life. This is the goal. This is the hope of the Orthodox life. And it's a hope that we can kind of get a foretaste of in this life. With sensitivity, we can do that. And I love this approach to the Orthodox life. I think it's refreshing. I think it's hopeful. I think it's joyful. And one of my favorite all-time fathers is St. Nicholas Kabasilas. He lived in Thessalonica in the 14th century. He wrote a book that's translated called The Life of Christ. And I will tell you that I have 4 copies of this in English because it's kind of falling apart. And I've got a couple of copies in Greek, and it's just a fantastic book. So if you're looking for a good book, The Life in Christ. And what I would say is what you need to do is you need to find some way of getting it through the bookstore. Because you don't want to go online and order it from Amazon, because that doesn't help anyone, does it? No.
That's the internet age anyway.
Yeah, exactly. The only way that you can do is you can maybe send an email here and ask the mothers if they can get you a copy of it. That's a good use of the internet. St. Nicholas Kabasilas talks about this life in light of paradise. He helps us understand one way that this life can be connected to the eschatological life in paradise. One thing that I love about St. Nicholas Kabasilas, this is an amazing thing. He lived at the same time as St. Gregory Palamas. St. Gregory Palamas was one of the great advocates of hesychism. St. Gregory Palamas, the hesychast, it was a mess. People were getting angry and you know, it was not peaceful time. And St. Gregory Palamas was an advocate of hesychism as an extreme way of living the Orthodox life and sort of being continually remembering continually your sinfulness and your distance from God and trying to strip away everything. So it's just you and God, so that you can behold the uncreated light. St. Nicholas Kabasilas lived in the same city as him, at the same time, and gave us a radically different way of achieving theosis. He's writing for lay people. He was a lay person. And his way is so different from the way of the hesychasts, but it's something that he created or he taught for the lay people. And it's a very interesting sort of a connection. So, I'm going to read you something from him. This is St. Nicholas Kabasilas. If the life to come, the life in paradise, St. Nicholas says, were to admit those people who lack the faculties and senses necessary for it, it would avail nothing for their happiness. But they would be dead and miserable, living in that blessed and immortal world. The reason is that the light would appear, and the sun shine with its pure rays, with no eye having been formed to see it. The Spirit's fragrance would be abundantly diffused and pervading all, but one would not know it without already having the sense of smell. It is this life which is the workshop for all those things. When a person has been shaped and formed here, she or he is thus born perfect into that perfect world which does not grow old. He has the image, and it's a powerful image, of the fetus who inside the mother develops the limbs that are necessary for life here. The organs, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue. And during that time in the mother, the fetus develops everything that it needs to enjoy life in this world. And he said, similarly, in this life, we develop the spiritual senses to enjoy paradise. Because, he said, if we were to show up there in paradise, unable to see, we wouldn't enjoy it. If we were to show up unable to smell, we wouldn't be able to enjoy it. In short, I think what he's saying in very poetic ways is, if we show up in paradise without the ability to love one another, then paradise is not going to be paradise for us. And so this life is where we develop the virtues, the love, the mercy necessary to enjoy eternal life. And in that way, the Orthodox life is absolutely focused on eschatological life.